Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hollows Fair in Love and War by Nova Nelson, narrated by Rebecca Mitchell. Chapter 1. Donovan was agitated, but that wasn't anything new. Neither was his desire for those around him to realize he was agitated without him having to say, "This agitates me." Although, to be fair, that would be a strange thing to say. I could tell he wasn't happy, mostly by the way he set down the tea tray on the low, round table in his living room. Or, rather, how he went to set it down, and when it was still an inch from the surface, he let it go, allowing it to drop the rest of the way and create a metallic clatter as the top of the copper tea kettle and the six cups rattled around. Prior to that, Tanner and Ava had been engaged in a lively conversation about her old childhood friend, who was now a cop in New Orleans. Tanner hung on to her every word. But the tea tray clamor had cut Tanner off in the middle of a question about how New Orleans PD dealt with vampires if they didn't carry wooden stakes on their belts. Ava glared at her boyfriend. "Something bothering you?" Donovan frowned and shrugged. "No, not really. Just, you know, the fact that Eastwind hasn't seen tensions between witches and werewolves like this since before my great-great-great-grandparents were alive, and yet we're okay with bringing her out and about, let alone to my home." He nodded at Grace. "Nothing personal." Ava glared at him even harder. I suspected the argument they'd gotten into at Franco's Pizza the day before, the one that had concluded with Ava storming out and Donovan following after her, hadn't fully blown over. Landon's cheeks were redder than usual. "No one saw her. She was disguised." Donovan lowered himself to the floor and scooted into his place at the table, picking at the last of his French fries. "I'd hardly call a Holocaust cloak and a fake mustache a disguise." Landon's blush deepened, but before he could muster the words to defend his lady, she did it herself. "It's been raining so hard and for so long, everyone in this town is too depressed to check on who might be under a cloak. Besides, I'm still in the first trimester. It's not like I'm going to go into labor on this nice rug. I'm sure you paid too much money for it. You can relax a little." I snickered into my burger. As much as I would have liked to pile on to Donovan about his ridiculously posh living room decor, I had other things holding my attention. It was the day before Halloween, and since the moment I'd woken up, I hadn't gotten 2 seconds to myself without ghosts breathing down my neck, reciting a litany of every wrong ever done to them. I felt like an unpaid supernatural therapist, and I was doing everything in my power to ignore them as they popped in and out with, "Oh, and another thing I just remembered." In short, the veil was so thin it might call a cobweb fat. I could only imagine what the next day would bring when the veil was drawn back completely and everyone in Eastwind was subjected to the whims of restless spirits. And while admitting this doesn't paint me in the best light, yes, I was very excited to share this burden with others for a single day. Try as I might to convince even myself that I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, after the days leading up to this, and now the non-stop neediness floating around me, making my hair stand on end without end, I did wish this on my worst enemy. And even some of my best friends. Just for a little bit. At the moment, I especially wished it on Donovan, who clearly didn't know how good he had it. "Give her a break," I said too loudly, forgetting that they couldn't hear the three spirits presently gabbing my ears off. I shot daggers at the spirit hovering over my right shoulder, inserting herself between me and Tanner as she rambled about her sister, who had borrowed her dresses without asking and even ruined a few. "Do you mind?" I asked. "I can't even hear myself think." Tanner tried to follow my eyeline into the empty air.
"There's one right here?"
"Oh, yeah," I said.
"I knew it. I swore I could feel a presence."
He shook his head, looking at the others.
Halloween, here we come.
He sounded like a child about to get on the world's tallest roller coaster. I grumbled under my breath to the spirits that if they didn't shut up for just a few minutes, I was going to banish them before they could resolve their issues and truly rest in peace. It worked, but I didn't expect it to last long. Ghosts have very little self-control. I don't understand why you like Halloween, Donovan said. It's literally the worst day of the year.
It's not so bad, Tanner said. It only lasts a day, and there hasn't been a death from it in 12 months.
He grinned at his joke. No one else did, though. Someone died last year? Ava asked.
Yeah, said Tanner. But it was more natural causes than from Halloween.
Donovan rolled his eyes. I'd hardly call being scared to death natural causes.
Bruckheimer was old, Tanner said dismissively. He had a bad heart. Something was bound to scare him to death sooner or later.
Okay, maybe I wouldn't enjoy seeing everyone hounded by ghosts as much as I thought. At least, not if it meant everyone over the age of 60 or with a pre-existing heart condition was at risk of kicking the bucket. I paused before taking the last bite of my burger, one of the half dozen I'd cooked up in Medium Rare's kitchen that was getting no use while the place remained shut down, pending inspection. I was still hungry, but I knew what would happen if I didn't save a little for Grim. When I looked over at the corner where he was curled up, though, he didn't seem too concerned about food. He was snoozing away with Monster, Tanner's munchkin cat familiar, curled up in his shaggy fur. His back rose and fell slowly, and I decided against waking him. Let sleeping hellhounds lie, and all that. By the rain-soaked window on the other side of the living room, Zola and Hera, Ava and Landon's familiars, respectively, laid at attention. Zola's mountain lion eyes were focused on the table, while Hera's lynx ears twitched nonstop while she stared through the curtain of water on the window, keeping an eye out. Meanwhile, snuggled up in an overstuffed navy and powder blue chair, Gustav, Donovan's familiar, purred daintily in his sleep. And while Donovan didn't love the fact that Grace had joined us, Gustav didn't seem particularly upset about the presence of Grace's familiar Snowball, who she'd smuggled in under her cloak to give the poor feline a change of scenery. Snowball had squeezed onto the chair alongside Gustav, and they were pressed together so closely that his gray fur mingled with her fluffy white puffs.
"You'll love the Hollow's Fair, Nora," Landon said, dragging me back into the conversation. As a Fifth Wind Witch, you'll practically be the guest of honor. Everyone will be looking to you for guidance.
What makes you think I would love that? I asked, reflecting on all the guidance ghosts had grilled me for in the 6 hours since waking up. When Landon's eager expression drooped, I berated myself internally for speaking harshly and backtracked. No, I get what you're saying, though. It'll be nice not to feel like an outcast for once. I patted him on the back, and that seemed to cheer him.
You think it'll still be raining? Ava asked. All this rain is dampening my powers, and I could really use them at maximum strength if I'm going to be facing down the kind of terror you boys describe.
Ava, being a Southwind witch, possessed special powers of pyromancy, or the ability to use fire to her magical advantage. I hadn't even considered that rain might literally dampen her abilities, but it made sense.
Don't worry, said Donovan. I'll keep you safe. I've never felt stronger.
Please, Tanner said. You're an East Wind Witch in a town founded by East Wind Witches who harnessed the power of the spring to take over. You've never exactly been hard up for power.
Easy there, said Donovan. You're letting your jealousy show, deputy.
Tanner waved him off with a flick of his hand. They'll have cleared up the rain by tomorrow, Landon said, addressing Ava's previous question that had almost been lost amid the machismo.
I overheard a couple of coven witches in the break room at work talking about the measures being taken by some of the Northwinds to clear up the sky.
Of course, nobody asked me for assistance. But it figures. I'm not exactly on the coven's list of favorite witches.
None of us are, Tanner said. Not since Lot Flufferbum went public about us with that piece in the Eastwind Watch.
He yawned and took the opportunity to toss a few more of the truffle fries into his mouth. As he began to chew, he added,
I'd better get some sleep. Last night was nuts.
I can't imagine tonight will be any better, said Ava, in her usual sympathetic tone. She did it so well. I made a mental note to ask her how she pulled it off so flawlessly. Every time I tried to sound sympathetic, it just came out as condescending or sarcastic.
Actually, said Tanner, tonight shouldn't be so bad. I only have to work till midnight. Long-standing tradition that law enforcement takes all of Halloween off.
Really? We all said at once. Tanner jerked back, blinking.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Donovan was the first to spat. No, I didn't know that.
Then Landon said, Well, that makes sense. I always see Bloom and Manchester around and out of uniform at the fair, but it never occurred to me that they weren't still on duty, or that they hadn't set up some other system.
Tanner rubbed his belly through his uniform as he began zoning out, gazing at the spring water bubbling at the center of Donovan's table.
Yep. No point. Too many emergencies. Bloom says she got tired of trying to prioritize whose life was more valuable than whose, which was what it came down to with the amount of emergency owls she got swooping down on her. Decided to call it off, let everyone deal with their own problems, and we'd start on the cleanup the next day.
That makes a terrifying kind of sense, I said. Also, good to know that there's no one to call if I need help tomorrow.
You kidding, said Tanner. You call me. I might not be on duty, but I'm still your boyfriend.
Such a hero, Donovan grumbled, stabbing at a bit of hamburger bun with a fry.
Nothing wrong with that, said Ava coldly.
Yeah, they were definitely still fighting.
Until he gets himself killed doing it, Donovan snapped back.
Ava's mouth fell open.
How can you say that in front of Nora? She hissed.
Welp. Tanner stood, and I hopped up with him. Like I said, I'd better get some sleep.
And I'd better go with him, I said, to, help him sleep.
Landon jumped up and pulled Grace up with him.
I'd better get back to work. The parchment catacombs aren't going to forge signatures on their own.
As each of us roused our familiars in a hurry to leave, so that Ava and Donovan could duke it out about whatever bitterness was lingering between them, I grabbed the umbrella by the door and opened it, only to discover that the rain was hardly more than a mist. We said rushed goodbyes and split. Only a block down, Landon and Grace broke off as he walked her home on his way back to work. And by the time Tanner and I had reached the Eastwind Emporium, Monster riding on Grimm's back beside me, the rain had completely stopped. Eastwinders quickly seized the opportunity to hurry out for their long-delayed errands, and the empty streets began to fill. I didn't mention it to Tanner for fears of sounding a little paranoid, but the break in the rain seemed ominous. I couldn't explain it. Perhaps the coven's north winds had gotten a jump start on handling the weather, but something inside me that I thought I ought to listen to told me the shift was a calm before the storm, and I'm not talking thunderstorms here. Because the streets around town had been so deserted during the unfavorable wet conditions, and when people were out in it, they had mostly kept their heads down, I'd had the luxury of forgetting that everyone in town hated me. Okay, maybe that was a tad dramatic. But they definitely mistrusted me, even before the Eastwind Watch had published a headline about the first complete witch circle this town had seen since the last war, and named each of us involved. At least prior to that, most people had the shame to hide some of their mistrust for me. They'd been socially conditioned enough to know you should generally pretend to like people, and fearing someone just because they're an outsider, or, you know, they can speak to ghosts, travel through past lives, and goddess knows what else, you shouldn't mistreat them to their face. That widely held belief had saved me big time on unnecessary day-to-day confrontations. But that had all changed in a matter of a single day. Flufferbum had snapped a picture of the five of us together outside the Bouquet's house in Erin Park following the close call with doppelgangers, and the previously unknown north wind in our circle was confirmed. And just like that, the power shifted. That was the most important part of it all. The power, or rather the perceived power. Because that was the crux of every problem, wasn't it? It's socially acceptable to go after people or groups more powerful than yourself. You never have to feel ashamed of that. In fact, we usually applaud it. But going after those with less power is just wrong, and polite society doesn't take kindly to it. But who's to say who or what is more powerful than anything else? Everyone, apparently. And the consensus around town seemed to be that regular Nora Ashcroft was a little scary, but not generally powerful. But once our circle was confirmed, Nora Ashcroft, the pivotal fifth wind, was suddenly a powerful menace to society. Obviously, that was false, since none of us were up for claiming any of that power, and to be totally real about it, we had no idea what we were doing. We'd fumbled our way through defeating the archetype, but we couldn't have done it without Liberty Freeman finishing her off. And yet, no one cared about that. We'd become this potentially oppressive force in town, and that meant we were fair game for animosity. For the most part, that manifested in random witches, wares, elves, leprechauns, fauns, and the like, giving us unabashedly dirty looks as we passed. They didn't need to hide their mistrust, because mistrust of authority is seen as a virtue. At least, I saw it that way. I just wished we weren't considered authority. Seemed a little ridiculous. As we cut through the large lot of the Emporium, vacant of its usual booths and carts, two tall figures engaged in heated discussion neared from the other direction, and when the first looked up and saw us, he did something very pleasant. He grinned.
"Tanner! Nora!"
said Liberty Freeman, waving. He placed a hand on the back of Count Sebastian Malevich, who accompanied him, and the two made their way toward us. When the Count greeted us with his usual mild disinterest, I was actually relieved. Never thought I'd see the day when Malevich was one of the more pleasant people to encounter around town. Liberty jumped right into it.
"You two staying safe?"
Tanner nodded.
"As safe as we can be." "I imagine playing it safe isn't in your blood," said Malevich, eyeing Tanner with something not unlike approval.
Liberty leaned forward and in low tones said,
"The safe haven laws are on their way out. We're moving as quickly as we can."
"That's good," I said. "You think it'll help? Seems like plenty of Eastwinders were just waiting for the opportunity to post those dumb restriction signs." My mind jumped to the no werewolf sign someone kept hanging in the front window of Franco's Pizza, the same sign Donovan had made it his mission to pull down each morning.
"It's a start," said Liberty. "You know, usually I'm against the government leading on moral issues. Its role is to uphold the wishes of the people, not tell us what's right and wrong. But, well, my job is also to protect the citizens, and I can't imagine the path we're on leading to safety for all."
A thin crevice between his eyebrows showed anxiety uncharacteristic for the gregarious genie.
"Shouldn't the laws just be overturned?" Tanner asked. "Darius and Quinn have provided sworn statements that they didn't vote, that they were captured by the doppelgangers before they could."
"Ah, yes," said Malevich coolly. "That's the wonderful thing about our system. It works swiftly when you don't want it to, and it comes to a grinding halt when you need it to hurry along.
Liberty seemed to have enough of depressing politics and thankfully changed the subject to something lighter.
You two ready for the Hollows Fair madness tomorrow?
He seemed positively delighted by it, but maybe that was because he was among the most powerful beings in town, and nothing from the astral plane could put a ding in him. Watching everyone get chased around screaming, which was what I'd begun to imagine to happen on the holiday, must be quite the spectator sport for him. Tanner nodded.
Can't wait for the blind draw.
But I said, probably not. Malevich's lips curled into a thin grin.
I should think you'd be excited. Fifth Winds have quite a good time watching everyone else be subjected to their daily struggle. At least, Ruby always does.
That didn't surprise me. What about you? I don't suppose you have to worry about much tomorrow. Can you even see the spirits? He sighed like I was born stupid, but he would tolerate it this once.
Yes, I can see the spirits on Halloween. Just because I'll have no spirit to linger on when some deranged loon in this town finally catches me off guard and puts a stake through my heart, doesn't mean I'm blind to them when they're right in front of me.
Jeez, I said. Somebody woke up on the wrong side of the coffin?
Oh, please. I happen to be in a fantastic mood at this very moment.
And why's that? I asked.
Because I'm about to bid you adieu.
He nodded to me and then to Tanner, and he and Liberty continued on with their conversation as they left. Are all vampires that rude? I asked. Tanner threw his arm around my shoulder.
Not sure. He's the only one I've met. But from what I've heard, they're usually more polite. But then they suck you dry the moment you let your guard down. I'd rather have rude and not bloodthirsty than nice and murderous.
I laughed.
Good point.
Chapter 2. Bits of Tanner's discarded uniform created a path from his front door up to his bed. It wasn't as sexy as it sounds. He was just exhausted and couldn't wait to shuck his clothes, which had been soaked, then magically dried, then soaked again, so he could crawl in bed. Of course, once he was in bed, it was another half hour before he had any chance of going to sleep. I'll take responsibility for that. And no, that wasn't as sexy as it sounds either. Not that the man didn't show his usual enthusiasm, but he was tired and I was cranky. Not a great combo. I rested my head on his shoulder as he lay on his back, beginning to doze off. I figured I might as well take a nap myself, since I didn't have anything else to do until my lessons with Ruby and Oliver later that afternoon. It was weird not going to work, but it also seemed wise to wait until the High Council got its act together before requesting a third inspection. If Liberty and Malevich could regain a foothold, maybe Mayor Asperia and High Priestess Springsong would be too concerned about their own good standing to pressure the inspector to fail me again for no good reason. Also, it wouldn't hurt to wait until the tidal wave of ghosts left me alone so I could think straight. Speaking of which, the protective spells combined with a few of the odd baubles I'd stolen from Ruby's ceiling and arranged at the doorway and windows of Tanner's room had thankfully worked well enough to afford us a little privacy. Yet another reason I wasn't ready to leave. One spirit had followed me in, too caught up in his own diatribe about how his fellow professors never respected his genius to notice the boundary. But a few shakes of one of the dangly things that resembled a bird bone mobile got the job done and sent him right back out the door. Ruby had shown me the trick to it earlier that morning when I'd come downstairs surrounded by a veritable stampede of spirits vying for my attention and aid. She'd shouted, "For Fang's sake, Nora," like I'd done it on purpose,
and then scrambled around the parlor, wiggling this totem and jiggling that string of beads until every last one of the spirit clingers had been sucked out the front door. Afterward, she'd given me some pointers on how the dangling talismans worked. I knew she'd done it for selfish purposes. She simply didn't want to suffer from all my obnoxious attachments. But either way, I'd stolen a few of her charms on my way out the door and, after making the burgers at medium rare, set them up around Tanner's bedroom before he got off work and we went to lunch at Donovan's. The thing was, the knickknacks didn't automatically keep spirits out. They could still drop in at will, like Bruce Saxon and Heather Lovelace and all the rest were keen on doing. But it did ward off the truly evil energy. You know, as long as it didn't knock three times before I let it in. And it allowed for quick removal of the unwanted guests without resorting to permanent banishment. And apparently it was extremely uncomfortable to the spirits to be thrown out in such a way, so the more streetwise of them stayed away completely rather than risking it. My eyelids grew heavy, and just before they closed, pop, pop, gah, I said, jolting awake at the unusually loud sound of ghostly visitors. Usually I could hear a little crack at the manifestation if I was paying attention, but with the veil so thin, it sounded more like two champagne bottles being uncorked. Two figures, a man and a woman, hovered just beyond the end of the bed. I tugged the sheets to make sure I was covered as I sat up, my heart racing from the start. Tanner snorted as he awoke and looked around through heavy eyes, mumbling, "What? Was it?" I sighed and collected myself. "Nothing. Go back to sleep. Just a couple of gate crashers." He rocked onto his elbows, looking down toward the foot of the bed where he could see nothing. "I thought the stuff on the ceiling was supposed to prevent that." I addressed the spirits, who looked vaguely familiar. Had they already visited me today? Impossible to know. "Can I help you?" The female, who appeared to be only a few years my senior, you know, before she died, crossed her arms and stared down at me disapprovingly. "More like, can we help you?" "Honey," said the male ghost soothingly, "let's not start with the judgment." He appeared about the same age as the woman, who I suspected was his wife. I looked at his hand and, yep, there was the ring. A simple band, though if it was gold or silver, I couldn't tell in its ghostly, translucent form. But wait, could ghosts cheat in the afterlife? I leaned to the side to see her left hand peeking out from the crook of her right elbow. Yep, another ring, identical to his from what I could see. Well, that was probably good.
"Tell them to go away," Tanner said. "I'm trying to sleep."
"Didn't look like you were trying too hard only a few minutes ago," the woman said disapprovingly. "You were watching us?" I snapped.
"We didn't mean to," assured the husband. "We just dropped in and, if it makes you feel any better, we stepped out until we were sure you two were..."
I held up a hand. "Okay, okay. Too late to go back. But do you mind? My boyfriend and I are trying to sleep." When the man smiled, I was absolutely sure I knew him from somewhere. That smile seemed so familiar.
"Boyfriend, eh?"
The woman, however, didn't seem to care about my relationship status one bit. "We need a word, Nora. It's urgent. We've only just managed to pass through the veil." She knew my name. Either the deceased had been gossiping about me in the spirit realm again, or I really had met them before. Tanner shivered. "Get lost," he grouched at them. Then he turned to the side and grabbed me, trying to pull me close, and snagging the sheet as he did. I grabbed it quickly to keep my modesty around the visitors.
"I'm so chilly," he said in a voice thick with exhaustion. "I need someone to help warm me up."
Even when he was dead tired he was ready to go. Ah, to be in one's 20s. When I chuckled at his relentlessness, he grinned back at me. I gasped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?